Is there solid evidence that the process of fracking deep layers of shale under the ground to produce natural gas ends up contaminating groundwater nearer to the surface? Up until now, there has been little definitive evidence, and in fracking boom towns, some communities aren't even looking carefully at the issue. But in Bradford County, Pennsylvania, new research has found that a chemical used in the fracking process has made its way into the drinking water sampled from three homes in the region. Susan Brantley is professor of geosciences at Penn State, one of the study's authors. She joins us from Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, where she's doing field work. Welcome, Susan.
Well, thank you very much.
So what is going on here, and how do fracking operations prevent the fluids that they use from staying underground?
Well, in this particular case study, which I think is an example of something that happens extremely rarely, we found some compounds in drinking water wells from three homeowners. And the compounds that we found could have gotten there from a variety of causes, but the most likely explanations are that they were used as drilling additives by gas companies in some relatively close by shale gas wells, or they were used as compounds in the fracking fluids used in some of those shale gas wells.
So the two scenarios are the drilling contamination caused what you're seeing in the drinking water, some sort of pit leak from a nearby chemical facility of one kind or another. What's the third scenario?
The third scenario is that the compounds were actually used in fracking fluid, and that somehow the compound got out of the fracking fluid in a borehole of one of the wells and traveled in the subsurface. But we know that if it was fracking fluid, it wasn't fluid that had gone all the way down to the shale and come back up. It somehow short-circuited at shallow depths rather than, you know, from the very deepest depths where the shale is located.
Is it a sloppy process where things spray out all the time underneath the ground at various levels?
I wouldn't call it a sloppy process, and here's why. I mean, in Pennsylvania, we have thousands of these shale gas wells, and you really don't hear about that many problems. It's very rare, so I don't think it's a sloppy process, and I think the gas company know quite a bit about how to keep their chemicals, you know, inside their boreholes. But I think, like anything else we do as human beings, sometimes problems happen. We don't know that much about the subsurface, and where there's a lot of fractures and you didn't know they were there before you started, sometimes something can leak. The other piece of this that I can say is that in 2009 and 2010, when the company was doing this development, it was not required that they use a steel casing inside the borehole at intermediate depths. They had a steel casing at the top of the gas well, and they had steel casing at the bottom in the shale, but nothing in the intermediate depths. And it turns out in this part of Pennsylvania, there's enough fractures and faulting and joints that apparently can allow movement of organic material and fluids, that intermediate depth perhaps was the place where the compounds got out of the borehole. Now the requirement is that these steel casings are put in even at these intermediate depths.
What should consumers in Pennsylvania and around the country and potential regulators take away from this study?
I think that when you move into a new area and you don't know as much about the geology as you would like, I think you want to be conservative. And certainly now we're putting in these casings at intermediate depth, and that's a more conservative approach. It probably costs a little bit more money, but it's more protective of the groundwater, and that's what we want to do.
Susan Brantley is a professor of geoscience at Penn State and a co-author of the study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Susan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.